had a different message I was going to preach this morning, one that had an old-fashioned theme. But as the events of the week unfolded, I felt the Lord leading me to preach the message that I'm about to preach. I've entitled it, Preach the Gospel to Every Creature. And it comes from that verse in Mark that we read, where Jesus, before he ascended back up into heaven, told his disciples, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." And I'm not sure the disciples back then understood the magnitude of the task. I don't know if they knew about life in different parts of the world that existed, but is not recorded in the Bible. And I don't know that they calculated how quickly populations would expand and what a sizable task that Jesus gave them and us to preach the gospel to every creature. In fact, there are some Christians today that think that it may be an impossibility. There's just no way that we can reach every single person in the world with the gospel. But I will point out to you that we saw a good example this week of how that can be done. Jesus, when he was on the earth, the Bible says, gathered great multitudes together. And he taught them about the kingdom of God. He taught them about heaven. He taught them about himself by telling parables. They were stories about an earthly subject that had a heavenly meaning. And this past week, God gathered the world together as one audience and painted a picture of salvation using a news story that attracted worldwide attention. For 70 days, there were 33 miners from Chile that were trapped in a caved-in mine. And this past week, starting on Tuesday night, if I remember right, the world watched as those 33 men were rescued. And as I watched Tuesday and listened to it on Wednesday, and as they finished bringing the last man up, I thought to myself, this is of God. He is telling a modern day parable. He is painting a picture of salvation, and most of the world doesn't know it. In fact, probably many Christians didn't realize it, but as I watched, I said, man, this comes right out of the Bible. This is like a modern day parable. This is Jesus telling the world, or this is God telling the world what salvation is all about. I have 6 points I want to make this morning, and so you'll be able to track my progress toward lunch. I know I'm the only thing that stands between you and lunch, and so you can just count down. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then I'll be done, and then we'll go eat. But I want to point out to you 6 things about this, about the story that many of us watched on TV, if not all of us watched. Maybe just you just saw one or two that was pulled to safety. But what a wonderful picture of our salvation was displayed for all the world to see. Here's my first point. These men were dead. They were dead. They were in a mine a half a mile below the surface of the earth. That mine caved in. The world thought they were dead, and if you read their story for the first 17 days, they thought they were dead. And I was reminded as I thought about them that death is no respecter of persons. Because you see, in that group of 33 men, there was some good guys and there was some bad guys. There were some guys that went to church and had a very religious background, and there were some guys that had nothing to do with God. And so there was a mix of people in that group of 33 men that were trapped in that mine that the world thought and they thought that they were dead. Now, the Bible says all of us are sinners. There is none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. And so I'll point out to you this morning, just like those miners, we're all dead. We're all dead because we're all sinners. Now, the kind of death that they were talking about the miners is a different kind of death that I'm talking about this morning. They faced physical death, where their soul would be separated from their body. The kind of death I'm talking about this morning is spiritual death, where our spirit is separated from God because of our sin. And I want to tell you something this morning, and I'm glad you're all here. And it pleases me that you're all here. I want to tell you something this morning. Spiritual death, just like physical death, is no respecters of persons. You may be a good person or you may be a bad person. You may have gone to church all of your life, or this may be the first time you ever darken the door of a church. You may have thought about God a lot, or maybe you haven't thought about Him at all. But the Bible says because of our sin, we're all under the condemnation of God and face death, separation from Him. And so these miners were dead. Number two, they could not climb up. Somebody had to reach down to where they were and lift them up. Again, they were half a mile below ground, over 2,000 feet. There's no way that they could climb up. If you read some of their stories, when they first mine caved in, they thought about trying to climb up. But then they realized that the way was blocked, and there was no way that they could climb out of that mine. There was a great gulf that separated them from the earth. There was a great gulf that separated them from life. There was a great gulf that separated them from salvation. I want to tell you this morning, because of our sin, there is a great gulf that separates us from God. And there is nothing that we can do to climb over that gulf, out of that gulf, out of those depths. The way is blocked, and the only hope that we have for salvation is for God to reach down to where we are and lift us up. We sing the song, "I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, from the waters lifted me, now safe am I. Love lifted me, Christ lifted me." And if you have life this morning, if you know Jesus this morning, you are out from that condemnation of death. Because we couldn't get to where He is. The Bible says His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And there's no way on our own that we can get to God. But thank God He didn't leave us to where we were. He reached down and pulled us up from that miry pit and set us on a solid rock. So they were dead. They had no hope. They couldn't climb out. God had to reach down, or that somebody had to reach down and lift them up to life, to safety, to salvation. Number three, I want you to notice there was only one way of escape. They drilled a shaft down to where the miners were trapped. They built a module, sort of looked like a rocket. No surprise, NASA was in on designing it. It was designed by NASA, built by the engineers in Chile. Only big enough to hold one person. And they let it down on a cable through that shaft, a half a mile down through the earth to the caved-in mine, and then they pulled it back up. I want you to know, and it's obvious, you don't need me to mention this, but I want you to know there weren't multiple options for those miners to get out of that caved-in mine. They could not walk out. They could not escape some other way. There was only one way to escape the mine. There was only one way to escape that place they described as hell. They had to get in the module and be pulled to salvation. What a wonderful picture it paints. For there is only one way to escape spiritual death. When God reached down to where we were, there was only one way for Him to lift us up to where He was. There is not multiple options to spiritual salvation. There is not this way and that way. There is only one way. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the disciples said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." And just like there was just one way for those miners to get out of that mine, one way to escape death, one way to escape their hell, there's only one way for us this morning. Only one way. Don't believe these people say, "Well, if you're good enough, God will save you." Well, how good you got to be? If that was the plan, I'd worry about how good you had to be. Can I be good enough? And the answer is no. The Bible says all our righteousnesses, all the goodness that we have to offer to God in His sight are as filthy rags. There's only one way to escape hell. There's only one way, and that's to be lifted up by Jesus Christ. Number four, each one of those miners had to decide to take the way of escape. Each one of those miners had to get into the module. Again, it was only large enough for one man to fit in. It had never been done before. They couldn't say, "I remember this cave-in back a few years ago. This is the way they got out." They couldn't say that. They couldn't say, "This has been used over here or over there at this different mine." It had never been done before. They had to accept by faith that it was going to work. They had to have faith to get in. They had to have faith that the module was going to hold together. They had to have faith that those above were going to pull them out. But I want you to know that their choice was very clear. They either had to decide to take that way of escape or they died. They died. I mean, I suppose that one of them or a couple of them could have said, I'm very claustrophobic, and if I get in that thing, I'll die anyway. I'll just stay in the mine. Now, what do you think? Just what do you think? What do you think the authorities, what do you think the president, what do you think the country, what do you think the whole world would have said if one of those miners had said, maybe it'll work, maybe it won't. I'm not going to take the chance. I'll just stay here. I'll tell you what we would have done. First of all, we would have said, "You're crazy. You're going to die. There is no other way of escape." And then everybody, the other people that were there, the president of Chile, all the people around, that person's family, their friends, they would have begged him and pleaded with him and done everything they could to get him to decide to get into the module. Because it was very clear to everybody that knew the situation, there was no other hope. There was no other way. You either got in that one way of escape or you died. There was no in between. There would be no second chance. You either got into that module and were pulled to safety, or you were going to stay and you were going to die. And so it was very clear. The choice was very clear. And all 33 miners made the choice to get into the module and be pulled to safety. None of them decided to stay. Again, it would have been a foolish decision. Death would have been sure. And it didn't matter to them that it hadn't been done before. It didn't matter to them that they had to trust the designers and the builders of the module. It didn't matter to them that they had to trust those that were up above to pull them to safety. They all decided to take the way of escape and get in that module. From a spiritual standpoint, we have the same choice. We have to decide to take the way of escape. God does not force it on us. The problem is that we don't see the alternatives as clearly as the miners did. And this morning I want you to see that the alternatives in a spiritual sense are just the same as it was for those 33 men. If you don't decide to take the way of escape, you're going to die. You're going to be dead spiritually. You're going to be separated from God forever and ever and ever. And people talk about hell, and I believe there is a literal hell. I believe there's a place of fire, the bottomless pit where the worm dieth not. But you want to know what the worst part about hell is? God's not there. God's not there. And the choice is very clear. Stay with me. I mean, understand it. The choice that we face today is the same that they faced. You get in the way of escape. You get in Jesus Christ. You let him pull you to safety, or you die forever and ever and ever and ever. I know you've never done it before. I know that you have to trust God, the designer of this plan. I know that you have to trust him up above to pull you up. But the choice is clear. You either get in Jesus and be pulled to salvation, or you spiritually die. You get in Christ just as the miners got in the module, and you let him pull you to safety. He paid the price for our sins. He offers to all the gift of salvation, but you have to take it. You have to take it. Number five, the miners were saved one by one. By the way, let me go back to number four for just a second. I forgot something. Again, just think. What would have happened if one of those miners said, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to get in that thing that looks like a rocket. I'm just not going to do it. The world would have come unglued. Their relatives would have been on the phone, on the TV hookup. They would have been pleading with that miner to get in the module. The president of Chile, he was there. He would have got on the phone. He would have pleaded with that miner. All his friends, everybody, the whole world would have prayed and said, oh, God, give this man wisdom. Help him to get in that module. Now, I want to tell you something. There are people that you know that have not decided to get in Jesus Christ, and we ought to be just as concerned. We ought to be just as worried. We ought to be just as involved in getting them to Jesus Christ as the world would have been if one of those miners had said, I'm not getting in. You see, we that are saved can see the choice clearly. They either get in Jesus or they die. There's no alternatives. There's no middle ground. I know some of you have been praying for lost loved ones. You've been praying for people that you know and you love that are not saved. I want to tell you this morning, don't give up. Don't quit. You stay after them. You keep planting the gospel seed. You keep telling them about Jesus. You keep living your life in such a way that they can see Christ living in you. Because if they don't get in Jesus Christ, they're going to go to hell and live there forever. Say, preacher, you ought not to preach like that. Why? It's the truth. And we that are saved, if they can't see the choice clearly, we that are saved can see the choice. They either get in Jesus or they die. They either get in Jesus or they have no hope. They either get in Jesus or they spend an eternity apart from God. Now, number five, those miners were saved one by one. They were all saved. They all made it to the top, but they were pulled up and rescued one by one. God wants everybody to be saved. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But he saves us one by one. Christ died for every single one of us, but what's important is that he died for you, and he saves us one by one. You may be here this morning, you come from a Christian family. Maybe your grandparents and parents and brothers and sisters, maybe all of them are saved. You still have to decide. because God saves us one by one. And then number six, there was great rejoicing, great rejoicing, great rejoicing for every man pulled to safety. I sat up late on Tuesday night and I watched. Everyone that came up, the family was there and they rejoiced. Their friends were there and they rejoiced. Their country was there and the country rejoiced. The world was there and the world rejoiced. And the rejoicing was great. And I want you to understand why. The rejoicing was great because everybody understood what they were saved from. That's why the rejoicing was great. Because the whole world. I mean, maybe you had not heard about it. Maybe the first time you heard about their situation was on Tuesday afternoon. But if you watched it all on Tuesday night, you understood what they were saved from. They were saved from death. And so when they were pulled up to life, there was shouting. And there was singing, and there was kissing, and there was hugging, and there were dancing, and there were high fives, because, again, everybody understood that these men were dead, and they're now alive. That these men had no hope, but now they had hope. And the same thing is true in a spiritual sense. In Luke chapter 15, verse 7, the Bible says, "There shall be joy in heaven over one sinner that repenteth." And you've heard me say this before. I think there ought to be more joy down here. I think we're too, too passive when somebody gets saved. I don't think we show enough emotion. I think it's because we've been deadened and we've gotten used to it, and we forgot when people get saved what they are saved from. When somebody gets saved, they are saved from hell. When somebody gets saved, they are saved from an eternity without God to an eternity in God's presence. And when somebody gets saved, it doesn't matter how old they are, a little boy, a little girl, a teenager, a young adult, an older adult, it doesn't matter. There ought to be the same thing. There ought to be shouting, and there ought to be singing, and there ought to be hugging, and kissing, and dancing, and high fives, because somebody that was destined to spend an eternity apart from God is now going to heaven. And living forever is now going to be with God and to stay forever. Yeah, get it out and wave it, because you and I are in that group. If you're here this morning and you're saved, we were dead. We were headed for hell. But Jesus reached down to where we were. There was no way that we could climb up. He reached down to where we were and pulled us out of that miry clay and set us on a rock and made us right with our God, so that one of these days we'll get to go to heaven and we'll get to live with Him forever and ever and ever and ever. The world watched this week. Many of them did not know what it was all about. It was of God. It was of God. And what about you? Are you in on it? Have you gotten in Jesus Christ? Have you let Him reach down and pull you out of that sin that you're sinking in and set you on that solid rock and made you right with God? Say, "Preacher, I didn't come here for that reason this morning. I came here for all the old-fashioned day, and I came here for lunch." That's good. That's good. I'm glad you did. But I'm offering to you something that's more important than seeing all that old stuff, more important than having lunch. The most important thing that is in this life, the most important thing that you can do is get into Jesus Christ and let Him lift you up and give you life. Give you life. Now listen to me, if you're here this morning, you say, "Well, I don't know if I'm ready." What do you got to do to be ready? You're a sinner. The wages of sin is death. If you die before you get home this afternoon, you'll go to a Christless hell. You're ready. You're ready. Say, well, I'm not prepared. We don't have to do anything to prepare. Jesus done everything that's already needed to be done. All you got to do is come and take it. Bible talks about salvation as being the gift of God. Not of works, but the gift of God. And just like any other gift, all you got to do is take it. And what about you? You're going to take it this morning? You're going to take it? Well, I don't want to be a Baptist. I'm not asking you to be a Baptist. I think being a Baptist is a pretty good thing. I'm not asking you to be a Baptist. I don't care if you're Episcopalian, a Lutheran, or a Presbyterian. I just want you to know Jesus as your Savior. That's all I want. That's all we want. That's why we have a big day like this. So we can tell some folks about Jesus and hope that they ask Him to save them. Will you do it this morning? God wants every single person here to be a member of His family. He has designed a module called His Only Begotten Son. And Jesus came down to where we were when we could do nothing ourselves. And He pulled us out of that sin. He pulled us out of sure death. And He says, I'll give you life if you'll receive me. And that's all you got to do is just take Him. Would you do that this morning? Say, preacher, I don't understand it. Sorry, just by faith. By faith. I didn't understand it all when I first got saved. I've learned a whole lot more about it. But by faith, would you just believe an old-fashioned preacher when he tells you that your sin's going to take you to hell and the only chance you have is to come to Jesus Christ? Just a second, we're going to stand and we're going to sing an invitation hymn. I'm going to invite you to come. If you're here and you never asked Jesus to be your Savior and you have enough faith, and by the way, you do because God's dealt to every man enough faith to get saved. Just come. I'll have somebody take the Bible, show you from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be your Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the wonderful picture of salvation you painted for the whole world to see this week. And I pray that those of us in this room this morning, as we've talked about it and as we've reviewed it, would see what Jesus did for us. And I pray for those that are here this morning that never have received Him. I pray, Father, you'd help them right now understand they only have one choice. It's to get in Jesus or it's to die. Help them this morning to get in Jesus. Help them just to see their sin and what that sin costs them and the price that your only begotten Son paid on Calvary's cross for them. Father, bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts. If there's Christians here that you're speaking to about something, maybe for baptism, maybe for service, maybe for something else, help us to listen and help us to be obedient. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.